If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
The season's over.
Ridiculous.
But hockey continues.
Thank God. Oh, thank God, thank God, thank God.
It's Blackhawks Live.
You know it.
Wait, what did you say?
It's Blackhawks Live, the offseason.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Welcome to Blackhawks Live podcast edition. Charlie Romeliotis here in our downtown Chicago studio. And my guy Jack Heinrich is with me riding shotgun. As always, an emergency edition because... did something happen over the last week or so?
It's been a busy morning. It seems like something.
So actually, the last time we did a Blackhawks Live podcast, we said we were going to hop on to talk about any potential breaking news. And literally driving home the last Blackhawks Live podcast that we did, you texted me the video or the report out of Vancouver that Connor Bedard left the practice facility clutching his left shoulder. And obviously, we didn't find out until about the following week that he ended up having surgery on it. Connor Bedard signs his extension a couple weeks later. And then there was one other item that dropped on Thursday morning. Number 88, Patrick Kane, is back with the Blackhawks. So let's start there.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll trickle down, talk about the Bedard extension and the injury and what that means for the Blackhawks. But, Jack, just your initial thoughts when you saw that news come through early on Thursday morning.
Yeah, it was, I saw the email, the press release coming out, and I hopped right out of bed. I didn't think it was, I woke up, it's bad, I wake up and I look at my email, so I got to work on that, but I saw the email, and I honestly couldn't believe it. I knew it was down to Buffalo or Chicago, but part of me was just like, I don't know if he's going to actually do it.
And it felt too good to be true.
It did.
Right?
It did. I woke up, I was like, no way. And I'm still trying to like wake myself up and all that. But having a few hours here to think about it, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, we've talked about it before, just me and you, like it would make sense to have him come back. Will they actually do it? And they figured out a way to do it. And I love that it's a 2-year deal. It's not a 1-year deal. He's going to be here for 2 years, and we'll see what happens. But I love that he's going to be around for this young team.
It makes so much sense on a lot of levels, both for Patrick Kane and the Blackhawks. Now, first, let me start out by saying this and kind of get this clarification out of the way. If we rewind back to the 2023 trade deadline, when it was Patrick Kane's last year as he would have become an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. Kyle Davidson had announced that the Blackhawks were fully rebuilding. Kyle Davidson and the Blackhawks management had made it known to Patrick Kane that they were going to go young next year and that he likely wasn't going to be giving a contract extension. So Patrick Kane was sitting in a position, do I waive my no trade clause and try to get a cup run out of this with the New York Rangers, or do I just play out the season with Chicago and just see what happens after that? This was not a situation where Patrick Kane in 2023, where he wanted no part of the rebuild and he said, I'm out. I don't want to be a part. Right. I don't want to be along for this ride. Like Jonathan Toews, when the Hawks told him that the Hawks were going to undergo a full scale rebuild, like he publicly made comments that he's like, this doesn't sound appealing to me at all. Kane was the opposite, where he wanted to be a lifelong Chicago Blackhawk. But when he realized that the Hawks weren't going to give him a contract extension, he decided to waive a trade to the New York Rangers. So I say this to say it's not like Kane wanted out because he didn't want part of the rebuild, and now he wants back in. His heart never left Chicago, and so for him to want to come back, he was even on a podcast last year with our guy Barstool Chief, and he said there's always in the back of your mind like, can I come back one day or whatever? So you could tell like he always had his heart here in Chicago. And so for him, for the Blackhawks to go to Patrick Kane this summer and say, hey, now we actually want you back because we're ready to elevate this thing moving forward. We need a line mate for Connor Bedard. We want a good mentor for some of these young players. But also Patrick Kane is coming back here to produce. He's not here to, like you said, victory lap, sell some tickets, wave to the fans, thank you for whatever. Like Patrick Kane obviously sees what the Hawks are building, and for the Blackhawks to give him, I don't know if he had a 2-year deal on the table with Buffalo. I know the Hawks probably offered way more money than the Sabres did at $8 million cap hit, which I saw obviously that's a lot to pay for Patrick Kane, but money literally does not matter for the Blackhawks because they have a boatload of cap space. And so, and this is also the Hawks taking care of one of their own, saying, we want you back here, you know, so come back here for a favorable contract. But yeah, it's awesome to see Patrick Kane back in a Blackhawks sweater. And again, I do not believe this is victory lap situation. This is a guy that's going to play in the top six. He's going to play with Connor Bedard. He's going to play on the power play. He's going to play a more meaningful role than he would have played in Buffalo. And it's just great. I mean, we've been getting the tweets and Instagrams by the Blackhawks all day of him. He's already on the ice practicing.
In a practice jersey.
In a jersey, which he does all the time there anyway. But they just swapped out the Red Wings jersey and they put it back into a Blackhawks jersey.
Yeah, I like they did a behind shot with the helmet and it had 88 and then the Blackhawks little decal on the back. So, and the big thing I noticed in that social clip, if you go on their social, is he had a huge smile on his face skating around, which was cool to see because you see how much it means to him to come back. And I thought it was telling too. We'll get to Bedard's extension, but during his media, they asked him about it, and Bedard lit up when they asked him about it. He's like, "It'd be awesome. I don't know what I can do to make him come here, but it'd be great to play with him." So, if the guy who's probably going to be your future captain's like bring a franchise icon back, it just makes sense.
That's where I wanted to go next. Connor, obviously, the extension happens over the weekend. His virtual conference call happened on Monday, and Bedard was asked specifically about Patrick Kane, and I thought he was going to give maybe like a general answer, you know, because obviously it's a touchy subject because you don't want to talk about you don't want to make headlines about a player that still has yet to decide what his future is. But the way Connor was talking about Patrick Kane, it was almost a full minute answer, and you could tell like he was smiling and I don't know if you remember this a couple years ago. It was Connor Bedard's rookie year. First time Patrick Kane was back in Chicago as a member of the Red Wings. And Bedard got asked about Patrick Kane like a week in advance. Like somebody was doing a story about just like preparing for Patrick Kane's return. And Bedard got asked like, "Hey, what do you think, you know, what do you think about Kane returning to Detroit? Like, what do you think the reception is going to be?" And Bedard started gushing like, "I've watched his mixtape 100 times on YouTube, like that. I can't wait to see what the video montage is going to be, what the crowd reception is going to be." This wasn't Bedard like pridefully thinking, you know, this is my team now, like out with the old. Like, there's still very much a reverence and respect factor from Bedard. And for them now to be teammates, which I really want to get into this too, this Patrick Kane signing, I think, is going to do wonders for Connor Bedard, both on and off the ice. Last year, when Macklin Celebrini went to the Worlds and represented Team Canada, he did so with guys like Sidney Crosby, and Nathan MacKinnon ended up going over too because they were early exit. Well, Celebrini had a decent rookie year in the NHL, but then he vaults into top five player in the NHL with like 115 points, like going from like 60-ish points to 115 in one summer. I'm like, what in the world happened? And I wonder how much Celebrini really benefited from being around guys like Crosby and MacKinnon. And, you know, you're putting on your skates in the locker room, and you're looking around, and you're being a sponge with guys like Crosby and MacKinnon. And one thing I think Celebrini said that he took away from his experience at the Worlds and the Olympics was just how calm everyone on the bench when things weren't going great. Or it might have been Mitch Marner actually that said that. But like, I'm sure Celebrini and some of those young players were like, "Yeah, it's very calm around here." And I wonder if Connor Bedard will benefit from being around a guy like Patrick Kane, how he carries himself. Even though Bedard is like, I mean, he carries himself like he's already a grizzled vet.
I keep forgetting he's 21.
He's 20, just turned 21, $75 million extension. Happy birthday to him. And so I just think it's going to do wonders for Connor Bedard. But I also think, Jack, it's going to do Patrick Kane playing with Connor Bedard is actually going to help elevate Patrick Kane as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because so in Detroit's, they made a playoff. They were trying to make a playoff push last year. In the final month of the season, Kane had 24 points in his final 20 games, which led the Red Wings. This is when they were literally every single game mattered. Like, I think Kane is going to benefit playing from Bedard as well, just as much as Bedard is going to benefit from playing with Kane. So I'm just excited to see both of our worlds collide, the old era and the new era, you know, colliding here in the present era.
I was thinking about that today because going through the old highlights, it's crazy that you know, Kane scores that goal in 2010, and now it's like he's playing with Connor Bedard all these years later. The crossing is cool there. I think you made good points with them on and off the ice, and the jump Celebrini made, that was only like a few weeks with Team Canada. Kane's going to be with Bedard for two years. So yeah. I think that could be a big jump. And ever since Bedard came in the league, especially when we're at the home games and we have the view we do, you just see how Bedard sees the ice, and he sees it so differently than the normal NHL player. And it seems like Kane is on that same level of hockey IQ. So if those two are playing together, it's like a great pairing. And like you said, they're both going to benefit. Kane sharing the wisdom and how to navigate the town, you know, and like being the star. And Bedard can help him because, I mean, like we've said a few times, this isn't a farewell tour. This is like he's still got game, even though he's 37.
Yeah. And think about it, too. Like I think of Pittsburgh, Evgeny Malkin. It was like 39 years old this year, and he put up more than a point per game pace. So it's like in the right situation with the right line mates, you know, I believe Patrick Kane can still be a high level producer. And I think who he plays with is very important. If you think about when he did get traded to the New York Rangers, he identified not just the situation fit, but he's like, I'm probably going to go there and I'm going to play with Panarin.
Yeah.
And obviously they had special chemistry here in Chicago. Why did he go to Detroit? He's like, I'm going to be playing with DeBrincat. Mm-hmm. And he's not doing that to just try to specifically go play with a specific line mate, but he does probably want some sort of assurance that he is going to be like, who are his line mates going to be here in Chicago? And if the Hawks are saying, hey, you're going to be primarily playing with Connor Bedard, which I believe to be the case, that's appealing to Kane because Kane thinks the game two or three steps ahead of everyone else, that he also needs someone that is thinking the game two to three steps ahead of everyone else, or else Kane's not going to work with whoever his other two line mates are. And so that's why I think Kane and Bedard will feed off of each other very well. And Kane's 37 years old now, so we know that he's not the prime Patrick Kane Hart Trophy MVP candidate that he was when he was in Chicago 10 years ago, but he can still be a high-level producer with the right line mates. And I think about his chemistry, Kane's chemistry with DeBrincat, why it works so well is because Kane was so good at driving his own line from the wing that all he needed on the other side of the wing was Alex DeBrincat to go find a soft area and just have his stick in the air and just wait for Kane to get you the puck. Well, now that Kane is 37, he can show flashes that he can still drive his own line, but he probably can't do it on a consistent 84-game basis. Like, he needs someone else that's going to help him drive it together. Why I think Kane and Panarin work so well together and was probably the best of any Kane line mate that he's ever had is because Panarin is the same way as Kane. Like, they play the same way, thinks the game at a high level, but Panarin can play a rush-style game. He can offensive cycle you to death. He has a good shot. He can drive his own line, too, and that's why I think Kane and Bedard will be able to... I think it's going to work out really well for them to play together because on a night where maybe Kane doesn't have the legs consistently, to like if he's playing 18, 19 minutes a night, Patrick Kane is, like there are going to be moments where he's going to need someone else to help drive the line to get in the offensive zone. And then once they're in the offensive zone, Kane and Bedard can work their magic. So I think it's going to be a great marriage between Bedard and Kane if they are, which I believe they will be, line mates for the next couple years.
Yeah, that's going to be really fun to watch. It's just waiting out that first month till Bedard gets back, and it'll be interesting to see who Kane plays with that first month, and then you never know if he can get some good chemistry with a few guys that would really help the team as a whole.
Let's get into it. Let's get in just like early lineup projections. Now, let's do this. Obviously, we know that Connor Bedard won't be available for the first month or so of the season. Let's just say first couple weeks, because I feel like Connor's going to return ahead of schedule. So let's like try to like map out the lines, what they're going to be when Connor Bedard is back from injury. And so here are my early feelings.
I love it.
Or like, let's just say early. Again, I could be totally off. This is probably going to be a fun exercise for Jeff Blashill and Michael Pekka to do all summer long, is projecting line combinations. But here's how I see it when Connor does return. I think Bedard and Kane are obviously going to be playing together on the first line. The question is, who's going to be the other winger, right? Do you put him with a, do you put them with a Tyler Bertuzzi where you just need someone to go to the net and go to the greasy goals? Or do you put him, do you put both of them with another speedy type player? Ideally, I think Bertuzzi would work really well here, but because Anton Frundell played with Bertuzzi pretty much for all 12 of the games he had last year, I do think they probably want to keep that continuity. So instead of having Tyler Bertuzzi and in the first line with Bedard and Kane, I'm going to go with Frank Nazar.
Ooh.
I have Nazar, Bedard, and Kane. And to me, it's going to be more of a, it's going to be like high risk, high reward.
Yeah.
Kind of like when DeBrincat, Strome, and Kane were together here in Chicago. It was a lot of offense, but not a ton of defense. But I think Frank Nazar has a responsible two-way game. Like, he plays on the penalty
for sure.
kill.
Yeah.
That I think, and his speed, like Nazar's speed is just, and Nazar also helped, he like trained a little bit with Patrick Kane last year here in Chicago. So like they know each other a little bit where they can, Frank also thinks the game at a high level, so he can work with them. So that's going to be my first line, Nazar, Bedard, Kane. And then I got Bertuzzi, Frondell, like I mentioned, who's going to be the third guy on that wing. I think it's going to be Roman Kantsarov.
Yeah.
So I think that's my top six is Nazar, Bedard, Kane, Bertuzzi, Frondell, Kantsarov. Third line, I got Teravainen, Ryan Green, and Oliver Moore. I think Ryan Green, I'm on record saying, I think he's the perfect third line center. I've seen projections with Frank Nazar as a third line center. I've seen projections with Oliver Moore as a third line center. First of all, I feel like Frank Nazar has a skill set to play top 6 minutes, mm-hmm. so I don't really like him in the third line center role. I know Oliver Moore played pretty well in the, at the center position, but again, I don't see him as a natural checker. I see him more as like a spark plug offensively. So I think Ryan Green would be an ideal third line center. And then I guess the fourth line doesn't really matter with who is left over. Jordan Greenway, Ryan Donato, Cole Smith. Now, there is a notable name I left off there is Nick Lardis. I think at some point, the Hawks, it would be more beneficial for Lardis to maybe start the year in Rockford and then get called up in a situation where he's going to play top 6 minutes. I just don't see why we would have Nick Lardis playing in like a third or fourth line role just because he's like, I'd rather he go to Rockford, play with Merrick Van Acker for however long, and then they can figure that out. We can get to that another time, but that's how I see my top six is Nazar, Bedard, Kane, Bertuzzi, Frondell, and Kantsarov.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I like that. No, I didn't even think of Nazar popping up to the top line. That'd be fun, like the high powered offensive line. And while you were talking about it, I was just thinking about Nazar using his speed to break away and Bedard or Kane just whipping the puck up ice and getting all those breakaway chances. So that'd be fun. That'd be a lot of fun. And then, I mean, the 12 games Frondell played get you really excited for his potential, and they want to play him at center. So if he's driving that second line with Kantsarov and Bertuzzi, that's a pretty big change in the top six for the Hawks after the last few years. It'd be fun.
Yeah, and obviously with Connor Bedard not being available for the first few weeks, maybe there is a situation where Lardis makes the team out of opening night and he is playing a top six role. But if everyone is healthy when Connor gets back, there is going to be some sort of lineup decision. Maybe the more interesting conversation is, what does the power play look like? Because there are three players on the Blackhawks now that really love the right side of the faceoff circle. Bedard actually likes the right more than he does the left. At least that's where he's been most effective. That's where he played in Regina. That's where he's played with Chicago. Anton Frondell also likes the right side because he's got that lethal one-timer shot. But as we saw for 16 years here in Chicago, Patrick Kane also plays on the right side of the power play. So there is going to be some, there's got to be some maneuvering on who's going to play where. Do the Hawks load up on one power play unit and just get all the skilled guys in one power play? Or do they divide and conquer and do like a minute power play for a first unit, a minute power play for the second unit, and see where that goes? So here I guess would be my early projection. I don't feel great about this, but it's my idea of kind of getting people in their right spots. So first power play, Tyler Bertuzzi and the net front. You got Connor Bedard on the left side of the power play, Patrick Kane on the right side of the first unit, Anton Frondell in the bumper, which I know seems a little weird because I don't know how much he's played in the bumper before, and he's got a lethal shot, so you would like him to utilize that, but just go with me for a little bit. Like, he can experiment there. Bowen Byram as the power play quarterback.
For sure.
And then power play two would be, I don't know who the net front would be. I put Ryan Green there, but we'll see how that shakes out. And then Nazar on the left side of the faceoff circle, Roman Kantsarov in the bumper, who that's where he's played in the past. And then Teravainen on the right side with either Lefschenoff, Renzel, Kaiser, whoever as the power play quarterback. But that's how I see it going on. I think Kane and Bedard are going to start together on the power play. But the question is, what do you do with Frondell now? Because that's usually his side on the right side, teeing up the big one timer.
Yeah, I wonder if he would eventually move to the second power play if they want to beef that up. But I kind of like just throwing all the talent on that top one, and then you kind of figure it out from there and what works and whatnot. But that's pretty fun top power play, because now you got Byram, and then you have a lot of options with the young guys to try to develop them as a power play quarterback. So it's just... you just look at the team so differently now with Kane in the fold. It opens it up for them.
And it's fun, too, because now the Hawks will have two legit power plays.
Yeah.
Like, usually it was just load up the first unit and pray for the second.
And they now go like a minute and a half out there a lot of times, too.
And Jeff Blashill wasn't afraid last year to start the second unit if the first unit wasn't going. And so now he can really do that with the second unit because he will have some options. So that'll be some fun lineup conversation discussion that we have further as we get closer to training camp. Let's move our attention now to Connor Bedard, his extension that happened over the weekend. He had a virtual conference call on Monday to talk about it. He kind of joked. He's like, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know? And so it was a good compromise by the Blackhawks and by Connor Bedard's camp to find a sweet spot. 5-year deal, $15 million cap hit, $75 million total. Kyle Davidson and the Blackhawks side of things, they probably wanted the full max 8-year term. Connor, if he was looking for to maximize his earning potential, probably made sense to go more of a 3-year deal. And so the Hawks end up compromising on the Hawks and Bedard end up finding some common ground going on a 5-year deal. And I really liked what Connor Bedard's agent, Don Meehan, said to the Sun-Times and the Athletic about Kyle Davidson's position was, hey, we got to get you locked up here longer term than a shorter term deal, because we want to communicate not just internally to our guys that you're going to be here for the long term, but also externally, we want to make sure that you're here for the long term. That way it's attracting some free agents or potential trade fit players to come here to Chicago. So I thought it was a great deal. I know $15 million cap hit makes him the third highest paid player a lot, but in a couple years, he's probably going to be like the 13th highest paid player. So it's going to look good in a few years.
Yeah, that's what I was telling John Landecker this week after he talked about it. It's just like the cap's going up so much and they have so much money they can afford to do that. Even if it's maybe a little less than what Bedard was thinking, it like the way they explained it, it's like, we want to build around you. And like you said, signal to everybody that you're committed. And it was just great. I mean, it wasn't likely, but it was great that they didn't have like a Leo Carlson situation where he's signing that offer sheet. Like, I will leave Anaheim, and then the Ducks match it. Now he's got to go back. And that was never a problem with Bedard. So that's nice that they had that good relationship, even if it took a while and people were sweating a little bit, like, what's going to happen? I mean, he's back in Chicago. I mean, that was only a week ago. It feels like a while ago. But it's been a very very good week for the Blackhawks here.
Yeah, there was always zero concern for me on a Bedard extension getting done or an offer sheet getting thrown his way.
Right.
Which, let's be honest, there probably was an offer sheet that was handed to Connor Bedard, or maybe like an informal offer. Mm-hmm. Like, would you be interested in signing one? We'd give you $20 million a year. But Connor has always been committed to Chicago. And so there was never a temptation to sign one.
Right.
Because also, like you heard Connor say this in the Zoom call, is he's like, I really believe in the guys that I'm going to war with on a nightly basis.
Yeah, he's good friends with them. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, he wasn't trying to up and leave. But yeah, I agree. It is funny because you see the $15 million cap hit.
Mm-hmm.
And if we would have saw that a year ago,
yeah,
we would have been like, wow, that is a lot of money. Because Kirill Kaprizov signed a $17 million contract like per year, and it shattered the financial landscape in the NHL, because Leon Draisaitl had just signed a contract that was a $14 million cap hit. Well, then Kaprizov goes to 17, and we're like, holy cow, that's a lot of money. Well, then fast forward a year later, Leo Carlson gets an $18 million offer sheet, and then Connor Bedard gets $15 million, and like, we don't even blink that Connor got $15 million. We're like, oh, that's just the new NHL landscape.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a good contract, but I also want to note this too. Connor Bedard took the exact playbook out of Auston Matthews of what he did in his second NHL contract. Auston Matthews, after his entry-level deal, signed a five-year deal, $11.6 million cap hit with the Maple Leafs. That was 14.3% of the cap hit. Connor Bedard signed five-year, $15 million, 14.4% of the cap hit. So the cap percentage is nearly identical, but the cap hit is significantly higher than Matthews because that's where the NHL landscape is going. And I will say this too, with the Bedard contract, the Austin Matthews five-year deal, that basically, the cap percentage basically stayed at 14.3 because Matthews signed that in 2019 and then COVID happened literally months later and the salary cap stayed the same for basically the entirety of Matthews' deal. So the percentage of Connor's deal over the course of the 5 years is actually going to go down by a fairly significant margin. And so that does leave some wiggle room for Kyle Davidson to spread out the wealth with the rest of the roster when they have to pay Anton Friendell and they have to pay Ryan Green and Oliver Moore and, you know, Artem Levchinov, Sam Renzel. So there's going to be money left over for Kyle to spend. So I just thought it was a fair deal by both sides.
Yeah.
A lot of money for Connor. It's a favorable cap hit too, in some weird way, because he's the third highest paid player. But I just thought this was a good compromise for both sides.
Yeah, definitely. It's the team always wants the more term, and then the player always wants to maximize their value. So they're able to find that middle ground, which was good to see. And I mean, Connor's always, I know there's always those rumors that like, oh, he wants to leave, and he always just keeps saying, I want to be here. And the big quote that kind of made the rounds on social media was, I only want to play in Chicago. So he's locked up the next 5 years, and it's his team now, and hopefully he rehabs from this shoulder injury and just has a healthy year and just puts it all together like he was last year.
The shoulder injury, let's dive into it. That unfortunate circumstance, obviously, because I think we did our Blackhawks Live podcast, maybe it was the last one, but I had laid out like a five-step process on how the Blackhawks can get back to playing meaningful games, potentially even playoffs. And it was like Frank Nazar being healthy. It was a full 82-game season of Anton Friendell and Roman Kantsarov. It was flipping the overtime and shootout records. Yeah. If that alone, the Hawks can get like seven or eight extra points from that. And then one of those was obviously Connor Bedard staying healthy for the full season. And it's unfortunate because he obviously is going to be out for a couple weeks to start with the left shoulder injury, not the right. The right was in back in December. He elected to rehab that one. The left shoulder is the one that he underwent a surgical procedure on. And the Athletic and Sun-Times, Ben Pope and Mark Lazarus, we have great beat writers here in Chicago. They both talked to Connor's agent.
Right.
And part of the debate on what to do with the left shoulder injury is, do they elect to rehab it in the same way that they did the right one, or do they just go surgery right away? And the risk, if they would have went the rehab route, was it probably would have been a 4 to 6 week process. And if over the course of the 4 to 6 weeks, the injury, the left shoulder injury, didn't get any better, then they'd have to do surgery anyway. And
they're
now
just
it's
waiting for it. Yeah.
Exactly. And now we're probably talking about Connor missing the first half of the season.
Yeah.
But now it's only going to be for the first few weeks. And I will say this, Jack, Connor's agent, Don Meehan, also said in the article to Kyle Davidson, reportedly, he told Kyle that around the 3.5 month mark, 3.5 months, he's like, expect Connor to start knocking on your door to get cleared to play. So his original timetable was 4 months. Wouldn't be surprised if he returns earlier. I actually have a prediction on when I think he's going to return, but just your thoughts on obviously the shoulder injury, but also we're going to have to wait a couple weeks to actually see Bedard and Kane on a line together.
Yeah, that's the one thing I don't want to wait. But Connor, I mean, I just felt bad for him because he just seems to be getting bad breaks with injury-wise. He gets the face off. He had the jaw injury where he got checked in a shoulder check. So hopefully he rehabs it well and he's good to go. But you just know how much he loves hockey and he just hates missing it. So I felt bad for him in that aspect, but he looked pretty, like he was a pretty good spirits on that Zoom call. So that was good to see. And he's attacking the rehab and he likes to come back when he feels like he's ready to come back. And we've seen him come back early a few times from other injuries. So I think it's like November 8th is 4 months from the surgery. That's a rough timeline, but it'd be great to see him back in October.
You remember his rookie year when he fractured his jaw? Mm-hmm. And he was on the ice like 3 days later.
Yeah, in the bubble. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He was wearing the full face shield, and like I heard when he was trying to recover from that, like he wanted to return way sooner than he actually did.
They had to hold him back. Yeah,
they had to hold him back, and so I wouldn't. This is obviously different because a fractured jaw is you're waiting for a bone heal.
Right.
Whereas like a muscle tissue injury, whatever, shoulder, separated shoulder, whatever that injury is, you need to be more cautious about the recovery process because you don't want to rush him back too early and then potentially re-aggravate it. So this will, they'll stay pretty committed to the timeline. But once Connor starts ripping pucks and he starts taking contact, like I would not be surprised if he's pushing to return. And so you said what, November 8th was the fourth.
I think July 8th, and then it's like correct. Somewhere around there, yeah.
So my early prediction on when Connor will return is October 23rd,
okay,
against the Montreal Canadiens. It's a Friday night at the United Center, mm-hmm. original six matchup. But the reason I think that too is the Hawks have 5 days off prior to that.
Oh yeah. So they play the schedule quirk, yeah.
The weird schedule quirk where they play like every other game. Or they play every other day, and then there's like a 5 week or there's a 5 day gap, mm-hmm. and then they play Friday against the Canadiens. Like I think that's an early one that we could circle. I know they got the Penguins in town, or
that's very early.
It's very early.
Yeah.
Connor's probably frustrated
that
he can't play in that one because he always loves going up against his childhood idol Sidney Crosby. And if you remember, that was the game that Connor returned
rookie year,
from his
right?
jaw injury.
Yeah.
He's like, I want to play, and like he knocked on the Hawks' door and said, I want to play in this game, and he ended up returning. So that Pittsburgh game might be a little bit too early, but I think October 23rd against Montreal, I think that's my early prediction. So I don't think he's going to miss as much time as maybe a lot of people think.
Yeah, that would be big. That Pittsburgh game's October 13th, so that might be a little too early, but that would be awesome. Yeah, they got that extended break before he comes on a Friday night at the UC. I mean, that place will be buzzing because it'd be him and Kane. You would expect to take the ice for the first time together.
All right, last thing. We also officially got the 26-27 mm-hmm. schedule, which we obviously just detailed. A couple notes. One, 84-game regular season now.
Yep.
So they added two more games.
Preseason.
Less preseason, training camp, hallelujah. It's literally like training camp starts, I think it's September 16th, and they got their first preseason game on September 19th, which usually there's like a full week
training
camp,
yeah.
And then the first game, then it's like, we got five more of these games? Like, holy cow. So good news is that training camp is very much shortened, and they'll play only four preseason games. Ninth straight year, the Hawks mm-hmm. are going to be playing on the road. And then, Jack, how about this? 7 o'clock starts
fantastic.
For weeknights? How about that?
Fantastic.
The Blackhawks ended up putting out a survey to mm-hmm. their season ticket holders, fans, or whatever.
Ticket package owners, yeah.
And they got like thousands of responses, and 83% of them had voted moving the games from 7:30 mm-hmm. to 7 o'clock. So we'll see how that goes. They did try this in the John McDonough era a decade ago, and it was a one-and-done year. So I don't know if they – I don't know why that didn't work. Maybe – I don't know if they were seeing – I don't know what results they were seeing there, but I think now that there's a new – new fandom that's emerging, that they're still young, I think this benefits the 7 o'clock starts. Means if you're a parent and want to take your young kid to a Hawks game, maybe you don't have to leave at the end of the second period, and you
right.
can actually stay for the full game. But it also is difficult because there are a lot of Hawks fans that do live out in the burbs,
mm-hmm.
and so getting to the United Center by 7 o'clock might be a challenge. But take a half day.
Yeah.
Or listen to us on the way up.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, every game's right here on 720. I know the TV bounces around, but you always got us.
Well, and the last thing, the Hawks are going to Germany
yes.
in December. It's Friday, December 18th, 12 o'clock Central Time start.
Noon hockey.
And then are you ready for the Sunday game?
I am.
7 a.m. Central Time start.
Mm-hmm.
6:30 a.m. pregame show.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting.
Coffee and Charlie.
The sun might not be out.
It might not be in December. That's a good point.
It might not be out while we're doing that pregame show. So that'll be an interesting one. But there's a lot of dates to look forward to with the Blackhawks, and especially now with Patrick Kane being back in the fold. Like, I can't even imagine what the
October 6th,
and the Hawks are starting. Yeah, the Hawks are starting three games on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, all three of those road games are going to be the respective team's season opener.
Yes,
or home opener.
Mm-hmm.
So the Hawks, we're gonna have three. Is Krista still in there? We're gonna have three pregame ceremonies to do.
Yes.
For our first three road games, and then obviously the Hawks home opener is on October 6th, and I can't imagine what that reception is going to be like when they trot out Patrick Kane, because usually the players come, the intros come from the Zamboni tunnel,
yep,
and they do it by jersey number, so they'll start with the, you know, whoever number whatever,
the four or five, eight,
yes,
yeah,
exactly,
yeah.
88 is going to be at the very end,
yeah,
and then they introduce the captain at the end, perhaps going to be Connor Bedard, but he'll be obviously being introduced from the bench. But Patrick Kane will be probably the very last name called, and boy, it feels like they're going to have to staple the roof shut at the United Center that night, because it's going to be a rowdy ovation.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that all day, this first game back, and a couple of buddies text me like, I got to go to the home opener, I got to see him, so it'll be fun. That opening road trip is interesting, though, because they go from Vegas to Utah to Buffalo, just across the country, back home, and then they go to New York. Just a weird scheduling quirk.
Weird.
I love
weird
scheduling quirks, but like that's an interesting one. They come home and go back, and
that's okay. We'll ride with it. Uh-huh. Well, hey, I know the last Blackhawks Live podcast we did, we missed out on the shoulder injury, but there was a lot to talk about on this one.
Yes.
And we'll see how many we're able to do between now and training camp opening, because it feels like all the big news has happened,
mm-hmm,
already.
We didn't really think there'd be big news.
We didn't think I mean, the Patrick Kane stuff is still kind of like jarring.
It's awesome.
You
know,
I don't think it'll sink in until I actually go to training camp and, mm-hmm, I see him back in an 88 sweater. So just fantastic news for everyone involved. The organization, the fan base to get excited about, the players inside the locker room that are just starving to play meaningful hockey. Like,
for
we
sure
were at exit interviews, and almost every single one of the players, Vlasic, Bedard, Nazar, were like, we can't do this again. We got to be pushing
for
playoffs.
Bedard said it in his conference after the contract. He's like, we want to be back in there.
Exactly. And so you get a, you know, they make a trade for Bowen Byram, mm-hmm, and, you know, they make some other move, Jordan Greenway and Cole Smith. I know they're not big splash moves, but they help shore up some depth. And then you make a move like signing Patrick Kane, and that's just going to inject some life into this group. So it should be a really fun upcoming season, and a lot of optimism now that 88 is back in the fold.
Yeah, I'm ready for hockey now. I know it's July, but I'm ready for hockey.
All right, let's do it. That's going to do it for Blackhawks Live. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.